Well, good morning. As part of our Go series, Sammy has asked me if I would give us a refresher on some of the basics and also the practice, the practicalities of living and telling the good news of Jesus. Now, if you've been at Christ Church for a while, you'll know that I've spoken on the subject a number of times. Hopefully, if you're relatively new to Christ Church, my prayer is that you'll find this all very new and exciting. For everyone else, well, you pray you won't fall asleep, don't snore too loudly. No, my prayer is that we will all of us be encouraged, because we all need that encouragement, don't we, to respond when Jesus, when God gives us an opportunity to share our faith with someone. Now, living and telling out the gospel clearly has two elements, doesn't it? As followers of Jesus, we're called to be good news and also to speak good news. Some of us find it harder to do one than the other, or easier to do one than the other. But if you want to be better at living out the gospel, you could do no better than, as Sammy suggested, go back and listen to some of our brilliant Go talks. And they have been brilliant. And there's a couple I've missed, and I've still got to get round to listening to them. But I was particularly inspired by Lisa Pike. Yeah, were you here for that one? From Open Door. And her stories of how God is working through that amazing ministry, that amazing outreach. Open Door Exmouth is right on our doorstep. So we've got no excuses. And several of our church members are regularly involved in that amazing outreach. And maybe God has been prompting you about serving there over the last few weeks or months. If so, go and have a cup of tea with Lisa. I'm sure she would absolutely love that. And explore possible ways that you could get involved with that ministry. Even for just a couple of hours a week, they need you. That's just one example of how we can make ourselves available to serve in Jesus' name. And when we make ourselves available to God, it is just amazing what he can do through us, isn't it? Yeah, I hope you can all say yes to that. If not, make yourself available. Of course, the same is true about speaking out the gospel. But when we look at the life of Jesus and what he was modeling to his disciples, you clearly can't have one without the other. Can you? His actions demonstrated God's love, but his words explain God's love. Yeah? Now, how do we go living and telling? In fact, there are dangers in focusing on one to the expense of the other. Here's an example of what I mean. As a young Christian, I can remember walking down Oxford Street and seeing a guy on a stepladder in Oxford Circus, and he had a loud halo in his hand. And he was clearly saying something about the Bible and Jesus. I was intrigued. I hadn't been following Jesus very long. I'd walked up to him to have a chat with him. And as I approached him, he noticed me. And he was now pointing his loud halo directly at me. I tried to make conversation with him, but he seemed unwilling to come down from his stepladder or to talk with me at all. And carried on speaking to me. Through his loud halo, I walked away and I vowed that I would never be like that guy. When I was 22, in my early days of being a Christian, I took every opportunity to share my faith about the hope that I now enjoyed. It was exciting. I was truly born again, and I wanted everyone to know it so that they could know God too. But after a year or so, I gave up. All my efforts to share my faith seemed to fall on stony ground. People didn't seem to be interested. I struggled to convince people that they needed Jesus. I became massively discouraged, so I decided to stop talking about my faith. Then, interestingly, it seemed like God seemed to stop sending people in my direction who were interested in finding out more about him. I wonder why that was. Maybe God was sending them to the available ones. Now, I had developed a comfortably long list of reasons why I did not need to share my faith in Jesus with those around me. Would you like to know some of them? See if you can relate to any of these. It clearly wasn't my gift. I struggled to share the gospel clearly. I was an introvert. my personal story didn't seem to be interesting to people. People are just not interested in Christianity. I might say the wrong thing and leave people worse off. I might embarrass the other person. I might embarrass myself. I might get asked a difficult question that I can't answer. They might know the Bible better than me. I might look stupid or weird. People might reject me. I might lose my friends if I try to witness to them. Actually, I'm not a good advert for Jesus. I feel like a hypocrite. My family and friends know what I'm really like. I can't imagine them ever going to church or getting involved. I just don't know how to start a spiritual conversation. There are other people in my church who seem to like doing this stuff, so I'll leave it to them. God can use them. The Holy Spirit can change people. I'll just pray for them. I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. My work's full on. I don't have the opportunities. Most of my friends are Christians now. My gift was to lead worship. So I did. I wonder if you've ever had thoughts like these. These thoughts paralyzed me. For me, church had become a comfortable place where I could learn and worship and serve and have great fellowship. But in my day-to-day life, I didn't talk about my faith with anyone, unless it was with another Christian. During the week, there were plenty of people around me who may not have known I was a Christian, or they may have known I was a Christian, but I never spoke to them about it. I clung on to Bible verses like this one. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I didn't want my speech to be like a clanging cymbal, and I certainly didn't want them to hear it through a loud hailer. I made up my mind that I would love people with my action, with my actions. They would see God in my life, and God would take care of the rest. But the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13 goes like this. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So if we love, is it just about our actions? If we're truly following Jesus, we will love people with both our actions and our words, of course, won't we? In fact, it's vital that we put helpful words to our helpful actions. Jesus modeled this perfectly to his disciples and to the crowds. Whenever he healed somebody or did a miracle, he was often quick to follow it up with an explanation or a teaching point. His actions demonstrated God's love, but his words explained God's love. Jesus was the embodiment of living and telling. Many Christians have told me that they share the good news of Jesus through what they do, being loving and kind, encouraging, and so on, but they could never talk to people about their faith. But there's a massive danger here, isn't there? We're loving and kind and encouraging to people because Jesus has transformed us. Is that right? Yeah. And he's still transforming us, yeah? I hope. People see that in us. But it doesn't mean that they know why or how this happens. But if we don't ever explain why we're good people, they may think we're good people, they may never know that we love because we're not good people, but God's people. It's because of God's love and that's at work and in us and through us. We love because he first loved us. And that is the message the world needs to hear. The Apostle Peter tells us that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you find this hard or don't feel prepared, keep listening, because I have a special invitation for you at the end of this talk. Intriguing, Tim. Okay. So that's a bit about the basics of living and telling. But somebody wants me to get practical. So what about the practice of living and telling? How can we start putting these principles into practice in our everyday lives? A great way to start is to look at the spiritual journey. If, like me, you're living in the second half of your life, it's a privilege to look back and see how this works. Let me draw a picture to show you of how this has worked for me in my life. In the beginning, there was nothing, and then there was Tim Moyler. Tim Moyler came to the world. Yes, that's a picture of my life. Exciting, isn't it? Bear with. This isn't a timeline, guys, all right? It's a picture of my spiritual journey, a journey of spiritual discovery, all right? Now, here are a couple of significant events in my journey. I was born, and I'm going to die. But as you can see, I was alive before I was born, and I will be alive after I die. Is this starting to look interesting to you? Okay. So my life so far has consisted of a number of spiritual steps. These are steps of understanding, discovery. They're also significant events and times of renewal. As I grew up, I knew little about God and faith. My family were not Christians, but we occasionally visited church for various events, births, marriages, funerals, all that stuff. And this sparked my curiosity. As a child and as a teenager, I wondered a lot about God, whether he was real or not. And I hoped that one day the light would come on and everything would start to make sense. I occasionally prayed, but nothing seemed to happen. So I reserved my prayers for times of desperation. Can you relate to that? Yes. A few chuckles. When I left school, I started to hang around with people who shared my love of music, but who certainly didn't seem to be at all interested in God. I had several years of living life to the full and consuming a lot of alcohol. If you want to know more about that, talk to me later. This resulted in me suffering regular panic attacks and ending up on antidepressant tablets. God clearly had other plans. And I started to discover local Christians who were also interested in music. As I hung around with them, I could see that their lives were clearly different. That experience led me to a key stage on my spiritual journey. And on the 27th of April, 1975, I stood up in a meeting like this, and I gave up control of my life to Jesus. Yes, I was hoping that someone... Yeah, thank you. Me too. I told him that my life was not working my way, and I was sorry. I asked him to help me live my life his way, and I started to follow him. I now know that I'd begun the second part of my life. I'd been born again, as Jesus says in John chapter 3. My old life had gone and the new had come. My new life with him had begun. I discovered that Jesus was the light I needed. Not a light bulb. Not a light bulb moment. It's Jesus. And everything began to make sense. I realized that I'd been taking steps towards Jesus, and I was now taking steps with Jesus. I realized I'd been responding to Jesus when he said, "Come to me." I was now responding to him when he said, "Follow me." I was on a journey, but it now started to look very different. You could look at this journey as a process or a pilgrimage, and it only goes in one direction. I wonder if you can relate to any of my story. Yeah? A few. Yeah, okay. I wonder what your journey is like. I guess your story is very different to mine. But we're all on a spiritual journey, whether we know Jesus or not. But one thing we share if we are following Jesus is that we've arrived at the cross and we've given our lives to him. Like me, you may remember a time and a place when that happened. But maybe your story of becoming a Christian happened over a period of time and you can't put your finger on a particular event, but you know that you're transformed, you know you're changed, you know you've been born again. So why am I sharing my story with you this morning? It's a great story, I think. But it's vital, isn't it, to recognize that everyone is on a spiritual journey. Sometimes it seems like we're motoring ahead with Jesus, doesn't it? And other times it feels like our lives have stalled. All around us are people who seem to have barely started out on their journey. We're surrounded by people who desperately need hope, who feel hopeless. We meet people who seem so close to becoming a Christian. And all of this work is the work of the Holy Spirit, who draws everyone to Jesus, even when we're unaware of it. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them." He also said, "I will draw all people to myself." Anyone left out of that? Not according to Jesus. So here's where it gets so practical. It's our job, isn't it, to get alongside people and share their journey with them and let them have some glimpses of our journey. As we love someone and care about them and show interest in them, we will discover what God has been doing and is doing in their life. I just love what Mary was saying earlier to the kids about friendship. Sometimes it's as simple as that, just getting alongside people and sharing something of Jesus with them. And as we're prayerful, God will help us to see what that person needs to take, what steps they need to take to move nearer Jesus. And as people trust us and show interest in our stories and in our journey, they can begin to see their steps for themselves. We know that when we pray, God hears. He always hears, doesn't he? And things change or begin to change. But maybe like me, you find it hard to commit to pray for all the non-Christians around you. Maybe the thought of doing that is just too overwhelming. There's so many. So let's get really practical. Let's start small. Here's a challenge. Ask God to show you 5 people that you know. They may be close to you or not, but you know them, who you could commit to praying for every day. Could you do that? Is that too much to ask? It's a good place to start. It all starts with prayer. Everything starts with prayer, doesn't it? Motivated by love. That's it. Maybe you're already doing that. There are 2 powerful things that we can pray for them. Firstly, Lord, please help them to get to know you personally. And the second thing is this. We don't always do this. Lord, please show me what I can do to help them take a step nearer to Jesus. Powerful prayers. If you'd like to start doing that, I've got a little prezzy for you this morning. Ask me for a 5 in focus card after the service. That's what it looks like. I've got some on the table in the entrance hall over there. Just write the 5 names on. And away you go. I keep mine in my Bible. You might want to stick it up on the fridge, wherever it's helpful to have it, so you see it every day. But if you live on your smartphone, anyone live on their smartphone, or the young people put their hands up, why not just put an alarm on your phone that goes off at the same time every day, at a time that's convenient to you? So it pings up without you thinking about it every day, and it says, "Tim, pray for these 5. Yeah? Imagine the power of doing that every day. God listening in to your prayers, praying for the same 5 people. Things are going to start to shift, aren't they? They have to. Yeah? But maybe for you, you feel a bit rusty about the process of how someone can actually become a Christian. Yeah? Maybe you know someone who's spiritually open and you've seen them take many steps towards Jesus, but they've not arrived yet. Maybe you're unsure as to how you can help them cross the line and say yes to Jesus. They may be... there we are. They may be ready or close to giving their life to Jesus. But as I know from my own experience, my lack of confidence means that I avoided people if they would actually... I avoided asking people if they'd actually like to become a Christian. If that's the case for you, I have another prezi. Here we go. It explains to anyone how they can get to know God personally. And also, it helps us know how to help them understand how they can know God personally. Even if they're not ready to now, you might want to say to somebody, "Have you ever wondered how I became a Christian. Have you ever wondered how someone becomes a Christian? Would you like to know? Have you got 5-10 minutes to spare? Then just read through the book with them. I've used it many times to help people take those final steps, simply by asking them if they'd like to know. It's amazing how many people have said yes. They were just waiting for that question from a Christian, any old Christian who's prepared to be available. As I read through this little booklet with them, I keep pausing and asking people if it makes sense, asking them if they've got any questions. It's great. It opens up a conversation that you wouldn't normally have. I love it because, I don't know about you, I have a memory like a sieve. And it's for me, it's got all the key Bible verses in it, so I've always got them to hand. And it helps me relax, and it helps them relax. And actually, it can actually be good fun. I always keep a couple of them with me, so I'm always equipped. Maybe you prefer to have knowing God personally on your smartphone, yeah? Ooh. Oh, here we are. Yeah, that's it. On your smartphone, you can download an app. Who likes downloading apps? All the young people with their hands up. You can download an app that actually has the Knowing God Personally booklet on it and loads of other great stuff, and you can actually show it to somebody and say, look, can I talk to you about how you can know God? Great fun. Try it. But here's one last really practical thing that I want to talk about before I finish. Let's get really practical. You may have been thinking about the amazing passages that Charlie read out to us earlier from the farewell speech of Jesus. You may be wondering what these verses have to do about the advocate. It mentioned the advocate several times. The Holy Spirit. What's this got to do with sharing our faith? Well, the truth is, the ultimate evangelist is the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again because it's so important to recognize this. The ultimate evangelist is the Holy Spirit. There is no greater evangelist. He's the one who does the transformation in our lives. And the promises that Jesus makes about him, and particularly in that passage, are mind-blowing. When Charlie read them out, did you take them seriously? If not, go back and read them again. John's Gospel. They're amazing. Just draw out a few of these promises, these verses. Jesus says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will help us and be with us forever. Is that good? You like that? Jesus promises that he will be in us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Whatever we do, wherever we go, he's in us. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Some things? No, all things. Jesus says that he will remind us, hurrah, remind us of everything that Jesus said. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will help us to pray, that he will guide us into all truth, who struggles to pray, and he will guide us into all truth. Some of the truth, a bit of the truth, all truth. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit will give us his peace, not the peace that the world gives, supernatural peace that never leaves. It never goes away. That's my story, anyway. Okay, what's not to like about that? For me, the Holy Spirit truly is my best coach and my best encourager when I want to go living and telling into my daily life. Now, when I go back to my list of reasons for not sharing my faith, I can see, actually, they weren't really reasons. They were excuses. They have to be. The Holy Spirit promises me all that. Everything that I've said earlier, they're just excuses. What I needed to do was to trust his promises and let him do what only he can do in me and through me. I was then free to only do what I can do. He expects no more of me. But he does expect one thing. He's not bothered about my ability or lack of ability. It's irrelevant. All he asks for is my availability. If I'm prepared to give him that and to look for what he's already doing around me in my life, in my world, then that's when the fun starts. That's when the adventure begins. And that's when I begin to find myself being very useful to God and very helpful to the people that he's brought into my life. So I have a daily choice. Do I seize every opportunity that God sends my way, or do I sidestep every opportunity as I did for 20 years of my life? As we approach the Christmas season, we'll be surrounded by numerous opportunities to share something of our faith, just as we have been at Halloween. Maybe the best gift you will give someone this year will be to help them talk about their spiritual journey. As someone said to me at Alpha last week, where else can you go when you get the opportunity to talk about these things? Earlier on, I had said I had a special invitation for you at the end of this talk. Aren't you relieved it's now the end? And here it is. Boom. Put these two dates in your diary, in your 2025 calendar, as soon as you can. Don't double book. Many people in the church have been to this course. We run it every July. We've run it for the last 16 years in Exeter. You may need to book 2 days off work. I know many people who have done that. Self-employed people who've given up income to take 2 days off work. I'm amazed. It's a Wednesday and a Thursday, midweek. There's one guy called John Paul who came just this last July, and he was very reluctant to come, but he was persuaded to by a Christian friend. Afterwards, John Paul said, you will get back tenfold in terms of your own personal journey. It's just been brilliant. I feel incredibly blessed. It's been a game changer. What I've been sharing with you this morning, folks, is just a tiny bit of living and telling. If this is really something that's resonating with you and you want to get serious about it, come along. One last thing I want to say before I finally shut up is on our church bookstall, you'll find a new display of books to encourage you to share your faith. And here's a brand new one from the very readable John Lennox. I don't know whether you know John Lennox. I'm a massive fan of John Lennox. He's so readable and so encouraging. Have no fear. Do have a look at that. And there's one other book by Phil Knox. Phil Knox has spoken on this platform before from the Evangelical Alliance, and he's written a brilliant book on friendship, exactly what Mary was talking about earlier. So if you'd like to explore how God can use your friendships or your potential friendships to bring something of the good news to people, do have a look at Phil's book. Again, massively encouraging and very, very readable. So that's me done for this morning. God bless you and enjoy living and telling.